music means it is time once again for Stroman on Sports here on 97.9 The Hill, our weekly chat with Dr. Deborah Stroman, UNC faculty member, University of Virginia professor, former coach, former player, sports businesswoman extraordinaire, and host of If You Only Knew right here on 97.9 The Hill. Thanks for joining me once again, Deb. Happy Friday and happy college football season.
Wow. Yes, it is here. It seems like we have this lull in sports. If you're a big football, basketball person, you kind of have this, I guess, about a month and a half where you're just itching for football to start up again. And it seems like it just happened overnight. But here we are, ready to go.
Absolutely. It's already been kind of a great start to the year for several of other UNC's programs, but I know that a lot of folks are ready for football. And I will say that the run-up to this season, Deb, it might have snuck up on folks because everybody is so focused on what is going to be happening next year, which is when all of these teams who have been switching conferences will be joining their new conferences. And we just got confirmation today after weeks of rumors that Stanford, Cal, and Southern Methodist University in Texas are indeed going to be joining the ACC in the 2024-25 athletic season. It still feels weird to say. I know that we've had a couple of weeks to kind of get used to that thought, but the vote went down early this morning, Deb, and it sounds like the ACC did indeed get the one school to flip into the yeses to approve this. They needed 12 of the 15 schools, and of the ones that were voting no before, of Clemson, Florida State, UNC, and NC State, NC State did indeed flip and approve this. So I want to start here with the UNC perspective, Deb, since you were on vacation last week. When we learned that UNC was voting against or didn't want Stanford, Cal, and SMU to join, what are your thoughts on that? Why do you think those three schools are the driving no's in this conversation?
So I would think that most people, the easy answer is to say geography. It's just too much. We have a good thing. But when you think about Commissioner Phillips, who's been with us now, I think, almost 3 years. I can't believe how time is flying. But he came from football country, Big Ten. And he has been very public in the sense that we have to have better football. Well, he was not able to, let's just say, do some things with coaches, with ADs, with presidents to lift that up immediately, as in some specific tactics. He quickly learned that we are Tobacco Road and we eat, sleep, and drink basketball. And so he's done some really good things with his leadership around basketball. But he's still sitting there as the conference commissioner that wants to bring more money and drive ACC football to get a really, really good TV package. And then, of course, we had all the craziness with the realignment, the breakup of the Pac-12 teams moving SEC, all of that Big Ten. And so there you have the last three standing, as in three very, very good universities that have football programs. But more importantly, they've got great location. You know, when you think about the Bay Area and you think about Dallas, maybe this is the feather in the cap that will help drive those folks in those communities to be more engaged with football and have a good chance to actually win conference championships. So it's a geography move. I really believe that.
It's a geography move. It's a money move. And I think it's fair to say that the Atlantic Coast Conference, certainly as we know it, is now dead. And maybe we should switch to calling it the All Coast Conference, something like that. find a new A for the ACC. You mentioned the other athletic success. And I wish I'd been able to talk with you last week about the comments that we got from UNC women's soccer coach Anson Dorrance. But among, obviously, these teams being added again for the football dollars to expand the conference's geographical stamp, they are adding some really, really strong Olympic sport programs, too. What do you think the effect on Carolina is going to be now that, you know, powerhouses like Stanford and Cal and women's soccer and swimming and diving, cross-country golf are going to be conference competition?
You need to have great competition to be a champion. And so the outstanding sports programs that we have at Carolina will welcome more competition. The Ali Frazier, right? You needed that. the Tom Brady and, you know, name the top quarterbacks, whether it's Aaron Rodgers, you know, whomever. You need great competition. So this is great for the league. I also speak that, you know, Stanford arguably is the number one university. Forget their academics, which is really hard to do, but they're the number one sports school. They've won 134 team championships. They've won four out of the past six women's championships, as in the Capital One Cup for women. And they've been in the Learfield Directors Cup, as in the best sports program all round, 26 out of 29 years, and winning first place, I think probably more than any other school. So, you know, the iron sharpens iron. I think this is great for Olympic sports. When we think about Cal, major money problems. So I think, you know, Stanford and Cal, again, having the great rivalry, but they also want to support one another, just like Virginia Tech, which is a whole nother story in how Virginia Tech got into the league. But I don't think Stanford wanted to leave Berkeley behind. Berkeley needs money. And I think this is probably out of all three of them. People might say, oh, SMU really needed this. Berkeley needed this more than SMU. SMU offers Dallas. Sports Business Journal said that Dallas is the number one city for sports business. They're the only FBS, as in football bowl, university in Dallas. So I think it's a good win for those schools. And I know Carolina will appreciate the competition. At least the coaches will.
We're speaking with Dr. Deborah Stroman here on Stroman on Sports. It'll be interesting to continue to hear the UNC reaction. Obviously, we have a whole year to now get ready for this change. And we have a whole lot of games to play before then, including, as we mentioned right off the top, college football season is here. That starts for the Tar Heels tomorrow with a huge game to kick things off, or at least, Deb, it feels huge because it is going to really kind of set the tone for what feels like this upcoming Tar Heel season. They've got sophomore quarterback Drake May back, Heisman candidate once again, one of the faces that people will know in college football this year across the country. But beyond him, it feels like a lot of other question marks on the team. And so here they are playing a neutral site game against South Carolina, who is no slouch and has a great quarterback of their own. This opening game really feels like it has to be a must win for the Tar Heels at the gates, doesn't it?
I certainly agree. You know, Coach Mack has been telling us that they want to go from good to great, and you just can't afford to come the first game with a geographical rival and lose. You just can't. I watched that NC State game last night, and I'm sure a lot of the Carolina coaches did as well, or at least parts of it, and saw that you can have that first game jitters. You know, I was listening to the chatter in Raleigh saying that NC State was going to blow out UConn. We've got to avoid tightness. I was looking at some stats, and, you know, our last five games last year, we struggled offensively. For South Carolina, they actually were on the uptick with their offense. They beat, I think, number five Tennessee, number seven, I think it was Clemson. Their last five games, their offense was clicking. So, you know, just like last year, many people felt that it was the defense for Carolina that made the difference in not being great. Well, they're going to get a test. 7 o'clock on Saturday night. They've got to play defense because South Carolina feels good about their offensive game and they want to prove it in Charlotte.
Yeah, and it really feels like this team kind of goes as the defense goes, right? You know what you have in Drake May, and yes, they are missing Tez Walker seemingly for the start of the season, if not all of the season, because of the NCAA's transfer rules. So an unproven receivers room, but young guys in there, right? Like, there is offensive talent. There's so many running backs, it's hard to choose from. But it really is the defensive side of the ball. And you've got Gene Chizik, who's the, you know, assistant head coach, associate, whatever his title is. But he oversees the defense, and he's the second man in charge behind Mack Brown. His defense last year was not good, Deb. And they saw some players transfer, brought a couple new players in. But, you know, it'll be interesting to see how they try and step up and stiffen up this year, because that is far and away the disrespected unit when it comes to the Tar Heels. And I think you just won't earn any other team's trust, and certainly not national attention and national trust, that you could be an actual contender until you can stop people from scoring the ball.
That's exactly it. You've got to play defense. And Certainly for a football program that's ranked, what, number 21 in the country and number 3 in the ACC preseason rankings, they've got to prove it. And that means stopping the run game. Certainly a lot of these top programs have gone to a pro-style offense where you're throwing the ball and you're, you know, playing the moving the ball down the field really fast, you know, no huddles or very, very short huddles. He's going to have his test, and then people will start questioning. I know, you know, Coach Mack is really, really close friends with Gene. He trusts him. He believes in him. So this is going to be interesting to see how this plays out. If we win the game due to our offense, as in it's a big shootout, there's still going to be a lot of question marks saying, all right, this is fine for the opener against South Carolina, but we've got to fix this. I think certainly we did play some young players on the defense last year, so here's their chance to show that they learned something, that they got stronger in the offseason. They learned the calls. They learned the plays. So I'm excited about Saturday night. I know it's going to be a packed stadium, and it's a good opportunity for us to start with our first game of being great.
Absolutely. And I know that the team is going to take things one game at a time. But as we wrap up here, Deb, I want to look ahead kind of as the rest of the season goes. Drake May, again, incredible talent, expected to be a top 5 pick in the NFL draft next year. How you know, UNC has got to try and shake its reputation of having these good quarterbacks, Sam Howell, Mitch Trubisky, Marquise Williams, and falling short despite having the most important player that you need for football success. In your mind, you know, if Drake stays healthy, if Carolina plays well but falls short, you know, what would qualify this season either as a disappointment or as a success when you have such a talented guy under center?
You know, by mentioning Drake, it's important to remember our backup. A lot of these quarterbacks, to go the distance, it's really, really tough. And I'm not trying to jinx the program or anything, but I'm hopeful that our second string quarterback is ready to go. But with that being said, it is pretty frustrating to have that type of talent, you know, Heisman candidate, and not get to a big bowl game. I think, you know, people not ranking Pittsburgh very highly this year, which is interesting considering the quiet championship season that they had.
Yeah.
Clemson is there. You know, they're picking Florida State and Miami to have great seasons. So it's going to be a battle. But if we don't get to the ACC championship and win it, I'm very hopeful that we'll win enough games to go to a big bowl and play well against another conference, a different conference team, and win.
Well, it is all in front of the Tar Heels. Their destiny is in their hands, and we'll see how everything starts out on Saturday night. You'll obviously be able to hear our broadcast of the game kicking off at 7:30, but coverage starts at 4:30 with Inside Carolina Live, and look forward to talking with Dr. Deborah Strowman here on the air as well as the football season continues. Thanks so much, Deb, and enjoy your weekend.
Thank you. One shout out to Coach Mack. If he wins this game, he'll be the first coach in NCAA history to win 100 games at 2 different schools.
Wow.
Texas and, of course, Carolina.
Well, here's hoping then. Here is hoping.
Yes. Have a great weekend.